Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is November 16th, 2007. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping publish mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now from 2 to 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, let me present to you Martha Trowbridge in The Wisdom of Madness, O Mirror Gleaming Back, and Reclaiming Sweet Dreams. Good afternoon, Martha.
Good afternoon, Lillian. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great. And welcome to all our dear listeners. This is Happiness for Women Only. I'm Martha Trowbridge soloing today. Dr. Barbara is visiting her dear sweet mother for a pre-holiday visit. Today's show speaks to women who suffer emotionally and mentally. I will read excerpts from three of my works of inspiration for women in crisis. As Lillian mentioned in the introduction, they are The Wisdom of Madness, O Mirror Gleaming Back, and Reclaiming Sweet Dreams. The Wisdom of Madness, quote, here's how I awakened Friday morning, to the feeling I was inside a gigantic food processor with the blade whipping round and round, my body banging against its walls as my body was torn and shredded. Martha Trowbridge, Private Communication with Dr. Don Nathanson, August 1999. Despite their considerable academic, professional, and political accomplishments, my family of origin labeled anyone who was at all different crazy. Creative thinkers, artists, eccentrics, depressives, political rebels, mystics, all were affixed with the crazy label my family quickly, callously, and cruelly applied. Creativity, which was and is the essence of my being, my mother regarded synonymous with craziness. For varying sociocultural, religious, and psychodynamic reasons, in our relational world, to be deemed crazy was a fate worse than death, because once you were, for all purposes, you were a misfit, an outcast, an object of perennial ridicule. Eventually, you became the family scapegoat. Repercussions that were so awful, just the threat of the crazy label stopped you cold. So, when a rape and murder attempt with prior and subsequent stalking precipitated an onslaught of agonies from traumatic depression, always, always stirring the coals was the memory of how terrifying it was to be considered crazy. The fear of going mad is primitive in the sense of pre-verbal, controlling, and inexplicable. Innumerable aspects converge into intractable power. No matter what you do or how you try to squirm away and out of it, you are immobile. A truly terrifying state of spirit in which you may find yourself if you're struggling with overwhelming stressors along with deeply rooted conflicts of yourself. How complicated it is, how frustrating. Fear of madness evoking more symptoms of craziness, craziness evoking more fear making us feel more crazy. Contrary to what many suppose, external catastrophic occurrences such as car crashes, natural disasters, or the experiencing or witnessing of violence are not the only devastating trauma triggers. Indeed, the worst trauma of all occurs when everyday stressors threaten the stability of your sacred inner universe. While externally induced trauma can and does cause unthinkable agony, and that's an expression of D.W. Winnicott from his Fear of Breakdown article, the collapse of the self can occur bit by bit from overwhelm, disappointment, loss, inadequacy, frustration, rejection, deprivation, grief, relational upsets, financial struggles, medical woes, loneliness, and or any other stressors that undermine the fulfillment of your two core drives, your drive for safety and your drive for effectiveness. And I just want to pause a moment and credit Dr. Jay Greenberg. His work, Oedipus and Beyond, identifies those two drives, the drive for safety and the drive for effectiveness. As threats to these two fundamental sense states, safety and effectiveness, escalate, your entire means of managing begins to go awry. Nothing you do seems to work anymore. A feeling of impending annihilation sets in, and with good reason, for your body-mind is signaling that your world, that the world you have managed to construct and to live in is collapsing into catastrophic ruins. Traumatic depression sets in, an agitated, intense variety of major depression. Characterized by unrelieved torment and anguish, traumatic depression wields a most terrible power, the power to persuade you that you are going mad. My note to eminent psychiatrist Dr. Don Nathanson, with whom I was working, was written in a time of especially crazy-making circumstances. Not only was I struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder from the stalking and murder attempt, my life was in chaos. Financial crisis had ruptured my home life, relegating me, my husband, and two German shepherds to live with my mother, exposing us to a barrage of insults and verbal attacks by my siblings. Added to this crazy-making mix was the fact that my husband was suffering from agitated, angry depression. However was I to manage my consulting work with Don, work that required vigorous attention? I was terrified for my sanity, for my balance. Restful sleep was something far beyond my grasp, further intensifying my distress. In response to my cry for help email, Don, in his wisdom, wrote back, quote, "Ah, but consider this possibility. You emerge from the food processor as some kind of primordial soup, homogenized, pureed, freed from any rough spots, and are poured into a new mold by the kindest model maker, the ultimate reshaper of humans, the God who reassembles all of us in each incarnation. The primordial soup of 46 chromosomes, the essence of Martha, the best of the best, all ready to be reformed as your highest dreams for yourself. Unrecognizable by any of them, free because you have yielded up your allegiance to them, no longer a Trowbridge, no longer formed in the matrix of that dangerous place." End quote. As it turned out, Don's sunny prediction became a reality. With years of work and determination, I was able to triumph in my struggle with trauma. Blessedly, I acquired this ability to access and sustain a bliss state, to live authentically, and to feel safe enough to present my creative work to the universe. For I've been able, as Don kindly penned that stress-filled August morning several years ago, I've been able to reformat. Quote from Don, "Such madness may be no more than a way to reformat the self in a way impossible otherwise." End quote. An attempt you too are making, though you may not realize it, in your own struggle with madness. When old ways and means of managing your life no longer work, new ways are called for to reestablish and secure your sense of safety and your sense of effectiveness. A new outlook, fortified by new thinking and new acting, all with the common purpose of soundly reconstructing your sacred inner universe, will generate wonderfully new self-sustaining feelings, the kind of feelings that are the most powerful antidote to feelings of impending madness. Just lost my place, excuse me. Okay. With genuine self-love, you can create an inner universe that reflects, supports, embraces, nurtures, treasures, protects, and genuinely loves the real you. An inner universe of serenity, exquisite beauty, and overwhelming bliss. Today I can chuckle about the harsh stereotype of my childhood, the creative woman as madwoman, as raving lunatic, as nuts. Perhaps the transition began in high school, when I playfully employed a crazy lady epithet to myself and my friends in humorous response to our antics. Playfully or otherwise, if you can reframe your onset of madness as your body-mind's profound signaling that your life situation is simply intolerable. You can use your torment as valuable, rich means of access to the highly charged emotional information stored in your deepest caverns. What is it that so torments me? May be your first inquiry to the crazy lady clearly agitated within you. Why? Your next self-question. If you can brave the uncertainty, pause and really listen to what your crazy lady is saying. Magically, wonderfully, blessedly, in tones, shrieks, and ravings of appropriate urgency, your truth will emerge. And one by one, the crazy-making stressors in your life, relational and otherwise, blissfully, purposively, and effectively, you can eradicate. With this magical accompanying benefit, in so doing, you are commencing the sound and stunning reconstruction of your sacred inner universe. As you transmute impending madness into your rebirth as the woman you were born to be, like me, you will come to know the crazy lady within you is the wisest lady of all. Writer's note, Dr. Don Nathanson is founder and executive director of the Sylvan F. Tompkins Institute. For an excellent overview of his work on affect, the psychobiology of emotion, please see his book, published in 1992, Shame and Pride, Affect, Self, and the Birth of the Self. Excuse me, what a typo that was. Affect, Sex, and the Birth of the Self, New York, W.W. Norton and Company. My second excerpt, O Mirror Gleaming Back. Quote, years of self-hate, ripping self, ripping others, tearing self to nothing, shredding nothing until what is left is the shredding activity itself. End quote. Dr. Michael Eigen, The Sensitive Self. For each of us suffering women, there comes the day or night or morn or afternoon when the image we see in the mirror horrifies us. The ravaged soul, the sunken heart, the hopeless spirit, the old, way before our time, face. The shame, the pain, the terror, the weariness. The vision of what it's like when a woman is the living dead. All shining back at us through that blasted glass, the one to which we went searching for hope, for signs of life, for encouragement. As if it were just a moment ago, I recall how devastated I felt the first time I saw in the mirror what those around me had been seeing all along. I recall how I felt when, hoping to see improvement, to that mirror I crept back a week or so later. In every cell of my being, I still recall how I felt years later when the image staring back at me was even more horrid than before. Feelings which, of course, reinforced trauma's vicious grip on me. Notwithstanding the negative reinforcement of that mirror, the phenomenon got me thinking, how could it be that the horror that raged within me, that out of pride I so desperately tried to conceal, had made its way to my outside? What felt even worse was the mirror's harsh revelation. I had lost what I always cherished, my physical beauty and grace. How could trauma have the cruel power to rob me of them? As life has torn at us, so we tear at our sorry selves. For many and complicated reasons, as Dr. Michael Eigen displays in his book, The Sensitive Self, we tear ourselves to nothing till all that is left, quote, is the shredding activity, end quote. Perhaps in the act of shredding, we feel aliveness. Perhaps we feel allied to those people with overweening power around us and internalized within us, and through this alliance hope to gain their favor. Perhaps we shred ourselves because living traumatized, we swing in and out of madness. Power and beauty, beauty and power, two of life's most vital energy states. Yet, what utter powerlessness we feel as traumatic depression rages through us. What penetrating ugliness. All we have to do is look in a mirror. Ironically, or perhaps quite logically, our faces display the evidence of our sufferings. Faces we view through mirrors. The mirror metaphor was a fundamental concept used by Heinz Kohut, founder of self-psychology. With it, he describes the process whereby mothers and other significant others communicate with the infant. What the infant sees on the mother's face, she internalizes about herself. When the mother's responsive, peaceful, smiling, and approving, the infant feels she is good. When the mother is unavailable, distant, or cranky, the infant feels she is bad. Through this mirroring process, the infant also learns about her power. When gestures made toward the mother result in positive feedback, the infant feels powerful. When the infant's gestures result in negative feedback, which includes ignoring the infant, she feels powerless. Trauma has a hideous means of transporting us back to and trapping us within the terrors of our earliest mirroring process. Because trauma and depression strip us of feelings of value, empowerment, and beauty, we have an extra special need for people and activities that mirror back to us our value, our power, and our unique beauty. Validation that we matter. Empowerment that bit by bit will replace the powerlessness that chokes us. Beauty, inner and outer, that will demonstrate we are important contributors to the beauty of the universe. There is a beauty in power and a power in beauty. As much as the universe often seems to seek destruction, always, in the interest of survival, to the beauty of newness and growth, it returns. And so, when faced with the ravages of trauma and depression, it is to creating inner beauty, eventuating into and radiating outward into outer beauty, that our hurting spirits must turn. Beauty is uplifting. Wherever, whenever, however we bring beauty into our sacred space, inner and outer, we take important, measurable steps away from traumas and depression's sheer horror. As we cultivate beauty, power will inch back into our eyes. Channels of energy long blocked will magically open. In our eyes, in that same mirror, the impish girl in us will glow. As I approached 50, my outward beauty was clearly energized by my inner beauty. As trauma faded from my spirit, in the very same mirror that years before terrified me, I now clearly saw beauty. What was even more wonderful, the mirror radiated back that I reclaimed my grace. Working through my sufferings, becoming, despite all, the woman I was born to be, has clipped away the debris and repositioned, nurtured, and glorified those things within me that bring my spirit into magnificent balance. These days, the mirror speaks in glorious, radiant tones. As often as I can, I seek it out. Miraculously, wonderfully, once again, I have beauty. Again, I have power, the power and the beauty of the rebirthed woman. It is a beauty and a power that has nothing to do with the contours of my face or the disposition of weight on my bones. Instead, it is an outward manifestation of beauty of spirit, a beauty that grants a woman the most absolute power, the power we each of us have to rebirth into exactly, amazingly, gloriously the women we were born to be. The final excerpt I will read is entitled, and actually I'm going to change the programming because we're running out of time, so the final excerpt I will read is entitled, Sleep with the Angels. Just one moment, please. Okay. When I was a child, Sleep with the Angels was my mother's eveningtide farewell. At the time, these words meant nothing. As far as I could determine, angels were just another figment of the Christian imagination. Besides, why should I want to sleep with angels? From what I had been taught, angels resided in heaven, which meant if I were to sleep with them, I'd have to be dead. Then trauma took control of me, and the only thing farther from angels, from my reality, was my ability to sleep. If I had to identify trauma's cruelest aspect, it's the fact that traumatized people simply cannot access restful sleep. If it isn't nightmares torturing us, it's our profound inability to relax. Every single sound amplifies into a red alert signal. evoking in our already weary bodies painful, over-vigilant arousal. What's worse, seemingly without provocation, terrifying memories ambush us. And sometimes, those blessed times when we've managed to quiet ourselves despite all, as we strive for quietude, our inner self-attack voices escalate to crazy-making intensity and pitch. Meaning, whenever we try to sleep, rather than getting revitalized, we grow even more exhausted, more depressed, more hopeless, and less able to withstand traumas and depression's ravages. To gather the wherewithal for recovery, though, refreshing sleep is critical. But the sad fact is, the more our body, mind, and spirit experience extreme stressors, the less we are able to access that critical rest state from which we can begin to heal. One fallout of my long-term trauma was that I stopped driving. After years away from the wheel, at last I got the courage to try driving again. It was a real test. I now lived in the country, miles and miles away from everything, in total opposition to 40 years of city life. Not long after I began to drive again,
has joined the conference.
Not long after I began to drive again, I was put to a scary test. En route back from the capital, 20 miles from my home, a severe electrical storm with torrential flooding rains struck. At this point, I was comfortable driving only in sunshine on low-traffic country roads, but there I was on a busy interstate, 14-wheelers and arrogant SUV drivers sweeping all about me, as in the right lane I traveled, at 40 miles per hour. Today I can chuckle about it, recalling the scene, angry drivers tailgating and tooting, vrooming past me, but it wasn't funny then. What to do? What with the dim visibility, pulling off the road would be dangerous. Panicking would be even more dangerous. Thankfully, just the day before, I'd been thinking of writing a column about angels. I was also thinking of my recently departed mother, who over and over had urged me to get back to driving so as not to be dependent upon my husband as she had always been on hers. Trapped in the storm's fury, I did what my mother would have suggested. I called on angels to surround my car with their white light and graceful protective energy. And lo and behold, within a moment, I actually felt them fluttering within and around my car, ushering me safely through the violent storm. It was as if I were no longer having to operate my vehicle. It was strange and awesome and glorious. Not only did I travel peacefully all the way home, I had an experience I will never forget. That night, this angel encounter helped me in yet another powerful way. For the first time in more than a decade, my sleep was oh so wonderful and remained so for scores of nights thereafter. Angels need not have any specific religious association. In my universe, they do not. Yet their pure, wholesome, kind, and compassionate energy inarguably exists. If you, like I used to, have trouble with the concept of angels, perhaps it would help if you think of them as symbols, as embodiments of goodness and kindness. Perhaps then you can open your spirit to their compassionate, glorious aid. Remember, they are your angels, your personal, private spirit helpers. You alone choose their colors, their tones, their garb. You alone choose the very special energy you need to help you heal from your specific suffering. Your spirit helpers are there, right there for your experiencing. Exquisite creatures who will encircle your weary spirit, caress you, and teach you to be genuinely loving toward yourself and thus be truly open to be truly loved. At nap time or nighttime, in times of depression or stress or exhaustion, call upon the angels in your universe. Seek their uplifting. They are there for you. They have seen much and are wise and strong. Open your heart to them. With joyous excitement, they await you. Well, thank you all for listening today. Thanks to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, who created Happiness for Women Only. Thanks also to our producer, Lillian Caldwell. Wishing you a serene and blessed Thanksgiving holiday, I am Martha Trowbridge.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Martha Trowbridge in The Wisdom of Madness, O'Meara Gleaming Back and Reclaiming Sweet Dreams. If you want to hear Mother all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Click on the left-hand side of the page, Archives. A list of names will show up, and you will find Mother associated with Dr. Barbara Holstein, and you will find it on both of Dr. Holstein web pages. If you'd like a hard copy, go back to http://internetvoicesradio.com, and this time click on Daily Info. Scroll down the page until you come to Deb Harris' name. With her email, copy and paste it. Give today's date, 11/16, the time, 2 to 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, the name, Martha Trowbridge, and Deb Harris will take great care of you, PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you go away, I have something to say from Rosalind Russell, who says, taking joy in life is a woman's best cosmetic. And don't go away, don't stray, because there's one program still left for you today, which is called The Proper Care and Feeding of Your Soul with Deborah Lentz Hill, co-host David Lentz. And please don't forget the special that's going to come this Sunday evening, the 18th of November, from 9 to 11 with Rowena Cherry and several of her guests who will talk about their work with charities and how their royalties are given to these charities and the kind of work they do with them. So thank you very much for listening, and remember, keep listening.